And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. And please bow your heads with me once again as we prepare our hearts this morning. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word, and we thank you for the time to not only hear it as it's read, or the time to read it out of our own Bibles, but for this time to really dwell upon it, to meditate upon it, and to consider what you are saying to us right here and right now in the situation in which we find ourselves. So we pray that you would enable us to be receptive to everything that you have for us here this morning. Open our ears, open our mind, open our heart, Lord. And we just pray that by your Spirit, we would receive every blessing intended for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we dive into this, I think we all realize that life, it's constantly full of struggles. And it's constantly full of hardships. We realize that every day there are problems and that there are various difficulties, and these difficulties, they weigh on us. They weigh us down. Now, of course, this is nothing new. It's something that has been true of mankind all throughout history. If you're a history buff and you've read back through the events that have happened over the course of time, you realize that man has continually faced struggles and hardships of various kinds all throughout history. It's also something that we, of course, have experienced throughout our own lives here in this world. We face all kinds of struggles from day to day. We face things like financial difficulties. We face difficulties on the job or at school. We experience difficulties in our relationships with our friends and with family members. We face difficulties as we strive to maintain our home and our property. We face all kinds of health issues as time passes. And we could go on and on and on. The examples of this are absolutely endless. And while any one of these difficulties may not seem impossible for us to overcome, the simple reality that it's often their timing that gets to us. What I mean, and you know this, is that our problems, they do not present themselves to us one at a time. Nor do they ever come at a time that is convenient, do they? Our problems and our struggles, they tend to come in clusters. And of course, they always tend to come at the most inconvenient of times. And this can lead us to feel frustrated. It can lead us to feel overwhelmed. Now, while these difficulties may vary from person to person, we don't all face the exact same struggles. We are not the only one dealing with whatever difficulties that we ourselves are facing. Our problems and our difficulties, which cause us to feel alone and cause us to feel isolated, They are things that are being experienced by many other people around the world. They are shared. And so we are not as alone as we tend to feel. Now, 2020, it's already been quite the year, hasn't it, when it comes to problems and when it comes to difficulties. Regardless of what your feelings may be about the politics of it, the simple fact remains that COVID-19, it's completely upended our year, hasn't it? It led to the shutdown. It led to the slow reopening. And this, of course, has happened differently depending upon where you may find yourself. Places like New York, places like Florida, Arizona, California, they have had it so much worse than a majority of the nation. And they, of course, have had it so much worse than we up here in North Dakota. But we're at the point now where we're looking at the fall, right? And we have colleges and universities who have already decided that they are not going to reopen as normal. There are some that have decided that they're going to take a hybrid approach. They might have some classes in person, but they'll have other classes online. Our local school districts, they're considering their course for the upcoming year. And as the church, we're sure hoping that we can offer all of our normal ministry activities in the days ahead. And this, of course, is only one of the issues that we have been dealing with in 2020. Again, no matter how you feel about it politically, we're not going to talk about the politics of it here today. But we, of course, had the killing of George Floyd, which led to the protests and the rioting all around our nation. And this, again, upset things for many cities and communities. Because now, in addition to having to deal with the fallout from the coronavirus, they also had to deal with issues related to public safety on a large, large scale. And that, of course, affected other things. It affected the stock market. Now, for someone like me, who still has quite a few years before retirement, things may work out okay, right? But for those of you who are retired, for those of you who are near retirement, many of you took a big hit that will probably affect you for years to come. Many of your investments upon which you're depending for income, they've lost money. We also see how worldly trials can result not just from these outward circumstances, from these day-to-day circumstances, but also from our faith. We see how the Christian faith has been targeted all throughout history. We see how those who share our faith have been targeted by those who reject Jesus and who reject the message of salvation. And we see how those engaging in ministry are often targeted by those who want to suppress it or who want to stomp it out completely. We see this as we read through the Bible. We see it as we read through the book of Acts in particular. And as we look around the world at believers through history and even today, we see the many forms of persecution that they have endured simply because of Christ. And although we have greater liberties here in the United States than probably anywhere else in the world today, there are fears that we could in time face the same exact thing. Some fear that our liberties are being slowly stripped away, especially in the realm of religious freedom. And so we fear that in time we may lose those freedoms. And again, face the same trials and sufferings experienced by our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. Now, all of these trials, they are clearly an issue right now, in the here and now. They are issues that affect our day-to-day life here in this world. However, all of these struggles, they affect us not only in a worldly sense. They affect us not only in a physical or a financial sense. These are also struggles which affect us spiritually. Now, what I mean by this is that these struggles, they often lead us to question God. They sometimes cause us to doubt His blessing. As we face all of these struggles, we often begin to ask ourselves, where is God in the face of all of this? We ask, why, if He loves us, we're enduring so much? We ask ourselves, why, if we are truly living in His blessing, if we are truly living in His grace, life is so difficult for us? We ask why God, if He is all-powerful, doesn't simply step into our problems and resolve them for us. Why He doesn't simply take them away. And as we contemplate our difficulties, along with these questions and along with these doubts, this is where our lesson for today speaks to us. However, before we dive into the text and before we break it down, I want to back up a bit, and I want to do so to ensure that we understand the context in which these words were spoken. So if you have your Bible open, and if you look back to verse 18 of this chapter, Romans 8, Paul says that the sufferings of this life, they are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. Now, as Paul says this, he doesn't speak these words in order to downplay our struggles that we are facing. He doesn't say this to minimize them in any way. But when we compare our problems, no matter how real they may be, when we compare these struggles, no matter how great they may seem to be, when we compare them with the glory that is to be revealed in us, there is absolutely no comparison. The glory that is to be revealed in us is so great that our problems pale in comparison. The trials of this life, they are nothing in comparison. Now, if you jump ahead into verse 26, Paul goes on to say that the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, and he does so by praying for us. We don't know what we ought to pray for. We don't know how to pray as we should. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit of God, he makes intercessions for us, Paul says, with groanings that are too deep for words. And how comforting this is. Because in our trials, there are times when, quite honestly, we don't know how to pray. There are times that we don't know for what we should ask. But the Spirit of God, we are told, prays for us, and he prays for us in a way that we cannot. He communicates our needs in a way that we cannot. And it's in this context that Paul speaks the words that we heard in our lesson for today. And he starts out in verse 28 with a statement that most of us have heard many, many times before. And here's what he says. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I think that we have to acknowledge that at times this statement sounds rather trite, doesn't it? It seems like nothing more than a platitude. It seems like one of those very cliche statements that Christians will throw out at you when you're struggling in their effort to comfort you. And they throw them out simply because they don't know what to say in that moment as you're struggling. However, the comfort that is offered by this statement, it's very real. Paul assures us that in all things, God is working for our good. He tells us that in all things, God is working for our blessings. Now, I'm sure you've all also heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. This doesn't mean that everything that happens to us in this life is good. Obviously, there are a lot of bad things that happen to us. There are a lot of bad things that happen, things that are bad by our standards, things that are bad by God's standards. And quite frankly, God does not promise to us a life free from hardship here in this world. In fact, as believers, we are told the exact opposite. We are told that our life will be hard. We are told that we will face difficulties. And sometimes these difficulties, they may result from our faith in Christ, from our worship and service of Christ, but other times they simply result from our life here in a world of sin. In John 16:33, Jesus makes this very simple statement. In the world you will have tribulation. And it's clear from this that problems and trials, they are not just a possibility as we live in this world. They are a certainty. Jesus, however, reassures us by adding this. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And we receive a similar assurance from Paul in our lesson for this morning. We're assured that even in the face of our difficulties, God is working for our good. We're assured that even in the face of hardships, God is indeed working for our blessing. And he goes on to describe this blessing. He goes on to describe this purpose that he has for us in verses 29 and 30. And he says this, "For those whom he foreknew," that's whom God foreknew, "he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." So what this tells us is that God has decided that his people, that the people of faith, will be conformed to the image of Christ. He's decided it. He's predestined it. He has determined that this is the course of each person who has received his grace. Now, in the beginning, you may remember, man was made in the image of God. And although some of that image has been retained, most of that has been lost. It was lost with the entrance of sin into the world. But we see here that God fully intends to restore that image. He intends to recreate the image of God within each and every one of us. And he's done so that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers. He's done so that Jesus might be preeminent, that he might be exalted among God's people. God, you see, he is creating for himself a people. He is once again creating for himself a people who are made in his own likeness. As Jesus shares in the nature of God, as he fully bears the image of God, we also are being made into that image. And how amazing is that when you stop and you consider it? God is taking a corrupt people. He's taking a sinful people. He's taking a people who are deserving of nothing other than wrath and judgment. And he is making them into his own image. He is making us, as wicked as we are, to bear his own likeness. He is removing from us everything that is false. He is taking away everything that is detestable. And he is replacing it with that which is pure and true and glorious and holy. And of course, we could go on and on with the adjectives, but you get the point. So everything that happens to us in life is working toward that end. This is the good for which God is working. Even though the bad things that happen to us, they're being used by God in order to accomplish that very purpose. And it's for this reason, according to Paul, that God has called us. It's for this reason that he has justified us. It's for this reason that he has glorified us. We cannot be conformed to the image of Jesus as long as we remain in sin. We can't be conformed to the image of Jesus as long as we remain under the consequences of sin. So God, in his mercy, he has done everything necessary to provide for us his redemption. And this, you see, is our hope. Our hope, it's not found in this world. It's not found in the things of this world. And this, you see, is where many of us as Christians tend to get hung up today. Our tendency is to place our hope in the here and now. Our tendency is to place our hope in the world around us. Our tendency is to hope that this world in which we now live, that it will become a better place. We even dare to think that we may make it into a better place. Our tendency is to hope that people will start treating each other in a more loving manner. Our tendency is to hope that science, it will overcome disease and it will overcome death. Our tendency is to hope that as we grow in wisdom and as we grow in knowledge, that our human flaws will completely disappear. And this world will be transformed into a perfect place. Our tendency is to think that if we are truly recipients of God's blessings, all of our problems will fade away. We tend to think that if we are truly recipients of God's blessing, all of our struggles will become a thing of the past. However, according to the Word of God, that is not the case. This world is not going to become a better place. Our hope, you see, it's found in Christ. Our hope, it's found in the salvation that Jesus has provided for us, and our hope is found in the blessings that he has promised to us. Although we are forgiven and although we are already saved through faith in Christ, all of these blessings will be brought to fruition in the end. They will be fully realized when Christ returns. They will be completely fulfilled as we are transformed into the image of God at that point in time. Now, getting back to our lesson, Paul goes on to explain the great comfort that this provides to us in this world of suffering. He explains to us the assurance it gives, and he says this, starting in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So again, Paul begins by asking this obvious question. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? And the answer is obvious because of the fact that God is God. He is all-powerful. And so if God is for us, then no one can stand against us. If he is for us, no one can stand against us because, quite clearly, no one can measure up to God. This is the ultimate expression of that childhood argument many of us had on the playground. I remember back in elementary school, and I was never the biggest of kids. I was really quite small. But I remember the boys saying, "My dad can beat up your dad." Any of you remember that? I probably said it myself a time or two. And the point of this is that it really doesn't matter what you can do to me, right? The point of it is that it doesn't matter if you're bigger or stronger. It doesn't matter if you can beat me up. It doesn't matter what you can do, because my dad, he's always going to have my back. It doesn't matter, because neither you and not even your dad can stand up to him. And so what we were saying is that I am secure because my dad is tough and no one can take him on, right? And if they ever heard this verbalized, I'm sure our dads were flattered. I'm sure they were flattered because as this relates to our earthly fathers, we tended to have a glamorized view of them as children, right? They probably weren't as tough as we believed them to be, and they knew that they weren't as tough as we believed them to be. After all, no one's unbeatable. But when it comes to God, this is absolutely true, isn't it? God is unbeatable. No one and nothing measures up to him. No one and nothing can stand up to him. So again, if God is for us, no one can stand against us. Paul then points to what God did for us in Jesus. And he tells us that if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, will he not graciously give us all things? And again, the answer to this question is absolutely clear. The answer to this question is yes, of course he will. Now, just to be clear, this doesn't mean that God's going to make us rich. It doesn't mean that we're going to be spared from every illness or hardship. We've already seen that difficulties are a certainty in this life. And this passage, it speaks to us in the face of those difficulties. But Paul is saying in no uncertain terms that if God gave Jesus for our sake, if he sent his only son into the world to die on our behalf, there is no question that he will provide for us every blessing. There is no question that he will provide for us everything that is good. And this is true because Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love. He then asks a series of questions just to relay this truth to us. He asks, who will bring any charge against us? Because God justifies, who is to condemn? Jesus is interceding for us, so who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer to each one of these questions is no one. Tribulation cannot separate us from Christ and his love, nor can distress. Persecution cannot do so, nor can famine. Nakedness can't do it. Danger can't do it. The sword can't do it. In all of these things, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he doesn't stop there. Just like when you watch the infomercials on TV and they say, but wait, there's more. That's kind of what Paul does here. Because he goes on to say that neither death nor life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as believers, then, we do have eternal security. And I don't mean by this that we can never lose our faith or walk away from it. However, if we are in Christ, nothing and no one can take from us the blessings that have been provided for us. As long as we have faith in Christ, we are completely secure in His salvation. We are completely secure in His blessing. And so what this tells us is that no matter what is happening in the world around us, no matter what is happening to us personally, we need not question God, nor doubt Him. No matter what is going on in life or in the world around us, we need not doubt our salvation. No matter what is going on, we need not doubt God's blessing. All of this is fully assured because of Jesus. And so as we face the struggles of this life, we look to the Lord. As we witness tragedy in the world around us, we trust in the Lord. Although these things are never easy to deal with, we realize that, you know, these things are going to take place. And although they may be painful, we realize that God is working even through these hardships that we might receive His blessing. We realize that we are secure in Christ, we are secure in His blessing, and we are secure in His salvation. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for just this good news. And we thank You for it because, Lord, life is full of problems and hardships. And these struggles do often cause us to doubt. They cause us to question. They cause that internal struggle within us. And we pray that You would erase that through Your Son Jesus. As we look to Him, enable us to realize Your love, enable us to realize Your blessing, and to never doubt it. So work within us, Lord, we pray. And we ask all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.